resurrection now, not have you ignorant. Then we need to look at what happened in the resurrection, and we look at the words of Jesus, right? We look at two places. We look at John chapter 2 and Matthew 16, right? We look at John chapter 2 and it says, destroy this temple and I will build it up, appear it up in 3 days, right? We look at that and we say that we'll be talking about what? The church, right? Because the moment you mention temple is God becoming flesh and God's union with man. That's temple. That was Moses' envisaging of the temple. When he says temple, that is God and man. Where God meets man, that's the temple, right? And so he says, destroy this one, this physical temple, and then there will be a temple in 3 days from my resurrection. Also in Matthew 16, where it says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the exponent of that, will not prevail against it, right? And which will be, the gate of hell will not prevail against the building of the church. The gate of hell will not prevail against the resurrection. Because upon the resurrection, that was when the church emerged. To look at the word church from the Old Testament, as used by Stephen in his sermon in Acts the 7, where he said, even that church in the wilderness, you know, he started by saying, Moses said, a prophet will the Lord raise among your brethren, just like unto me, in shall you hear. And they he spoke of that church in the wilderness. And we look at the word church, Ecclesia, right? Right? Ecclesia, which means a gathering. A gathering of people. And we look at the dual purpose of Ecclesia, of the Ecclesia. We said that the Ecclesia will have what? A people, which will be by identification, right? Specifically, same father. A people with the same father, and also what? They are gathering. A people with the same father, and also they are gathering. That would typify why Israel is used as an example. Again, Israel is not the church. Let me just say that. Israel is not the church. Israel, most of them never go to the promised land. The church was birthed in the promised land, right? And so you must understand how to talk. It's very easy to just fall into error and say, Israel is the type of the church. No. Israel never got the promised land. Right? You must understand your hermeneutics properly. And so we also look at Moses choosing leaders over the people, right? And he chose elders. He chose 70 elders, which was Jethro's advice and submission to him. That's why she surrounded herself with good company. And so he chose elders. What was their requirement? Or what are the requirements? To be an elder. Must be experienced. That's the way you remember. He will teach also, right? That means he must be someone who is diligent. We'll look at all of that in the next session. And so we look at Moses chose elders. So we are going to conclude also that the work of ministry is the work of who? Every believer, exactly. The Lord has promised the word, right? Great are the company, Sabah, of those who publish it. And great is the company of those who publish it. So, the publishing will be what? In the preaching of the gospel, right? To proclaim the news, and that is for everybody in the family. Don't forget, earlier on, he already said, he sets the solitary in families. He said, and we're told all of that, right? He said the solitary in families. Alright, also we said that ministry gives to be God's gift to the church. Don't forget we said he didn't use us with benefits. Abi? You remember all of that, Abi? He ascended up on high, make activity active, and he received gifts for men. That's what David said. Paul said he gave his own determine. Men were the ones that were abandoned. It makes sense? Because it's men that receive God's gift. In that sense, God daily knows us with benefit. I will explain all of that, which means that the ministry gifts, his gifts are always with us, right? Okay. Again, we are the women of God, and we see the ministry of the woman in the Bible, right? Right? Our ministry is not in the kitchen, it's not to cook and pick food. Women can pastor, women can be apostles, women The funny thing is that we have placed so much tag on these activities and these gifts that we don't even know what we mean again. So also, why are we burdening ourselves to explain all of this? Explain apostle, explain, the truth is, if you miss it, apostle it. Listen, it gives us the license to derail in other things also. That means if I don't know the proper use of a prophet, when other words come that are not ministering it, other things I see in the Bible, because of the latitude of freedom I've given to the use of ministry gifts, right? I will also want to extend that latitude or that advantage. That means I will now see spirit. I will now call it what it is not, because I have learned not to call things the way they are. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? That means if I see an apostle and I don't know what an apostle means, and just say, let us generalize, apostle is apostle. We will get on this explanation. When we see another thing that has nothing to do with ministry gift, we will also generalize, because we have been trained that way. So we must learn to call things what they are. We must learn to maintain the stance of Bible hermeneutics. The man of God must use, or the minister of God must use words for what they are for. That's diligence. The neglect of certain things will give room for further derailing. Alright. So, let's quickly just ask the prophet again. What is the one word that would summarize ministry gift? Thank you very much. The word elder, right? So what Paul will be doing in the post in Ephesians 4:11 will be what? Explaining what the elders do, not who they are. So we said primarily that you understand ministry gift in action, right? Much more than what? Nominal, right? Much more than now. Instead of seeing the pastor as a person, you ought to see pastor as a duty, as something that is done. It's pastor and shepherd. Emmanuel, you are shepherd on something. Also the apostolos, the prophetis, the evangelistos, and the didaskalos. Okay, so let's just quickly run through all of that. Again, the prophet. The office of the prophet is quite prominent in the Old Testament. The office of the prophet. What prophet is the word Nabiya in the Hebrew? You already know that from the dialects of the prophet. It means what? An oracle? Okay, better put, an inspired speaker, exactly. Someone who speaks on behalf of another. His words are inspired by someone, alright? So an inspired speaker. Some people call it poet. I think poetry has its roots from prophets. Alright? Nabiya, an inspired speaker. Those who saw and heard things in the Old Testament were called prophets, basically. The moment you start seeing things and you start hearing things, you're already a prophet. But can that be sustained today? No, it can't. Because John was the last of such prophets in the Old Testament. Even Jesus said it. Matthew 11:13 said that all the prophets, the law and the prophets prophesied unto John. Matthew 11:13. Everybody ended with John. He calls John the greatest. Obviously, those kind of prophets are the prophets you find in Hebrews 1:1. God has so many times in Baba's manner spoken with fathers by the prophets. Luke 24:25. Who is as well about to believe all that the prophets. Again, that will not be the New Testament prophet. That will be what? The inspired speaker and the one that sees and the one that sees and hears and talks in the Old Testament. But that can be sustained today because every believer has the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7. These gifts are given to every man to profit with power. Alright? Who is the every man in 1 Corinthians 12:7? The man in verse 3. The man who has said that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost. Again, don't forget Acts 2. Everyone, right? I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. My fast. Alright, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons in the church of prophecy. Your old men will do dreams. Your young men will see visions. Forget the old and the young. Spirit, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Again, all flesh will see visions. All flesh will dream dreams. All flesh will prophesy. So again, that will take away the fact that some people are now seeing and hearing in the Old Testament, right? It's now become a New Testament reality. But don't forget Moses. in Numbers 11:29. Eh? That the will of God is what? Eh? That all will prophesy. Is again, Peter was never called a prophet. Was he? Eh? Yes, did he see visions? Yes. In Acts 10, it's all, ladder, beast, and all. He had sight. In Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira, he had supernatural insight. If that was in the Old Testament, you would have called him a prophet. That's what did Elisha do? Right? He just knew that Gehazi had gone to the bath, right? A lot of things similar to Ananias and Sapphira. Uh-huh. So if Peter was in the Old Testament, you would have called him a prophet. And yes, Peter was never called a prophet. Yet he had supernatural sightings. Of course, 2 Peter 1 said we saw him. Paul also was never called a prophet. Yes, he had supernatural sightings. In 2 Corinthians 12, he even said, I don't know whether I was in third heaven or not. 2 Corinthians 12. In Acts 9, in fact, the beginning of his ministry was a divinely granted appearance. A divinely granted appearance. Yeah. Okay. Acts 9, 7 years off. Acts 18. No, yet. And yet, was never called a prophet. So it can't be all about seeing visions. Being a prophet cannot be all about seeing visions or talking futuristically like people talking. So it's, I recall my mom taking me to Rome, and I was allowed to go as well. I think I've said the story before. Have you? Eh? Have you said it before? There's someone around there in the battle. Something about him. My prophet, why is your room dark? Your room is dark. You should not a reflection of your heart. I think that's the last time we went to any prophet. Because I asked many questions. Alright, so, but again, a prophet is just, he's more than a person that talks futuristically. Even the man who actually said that was a pastor. Funny enough. I knew, even if he did not tell me. I already had church at age 8. Spring of Joy. See, that's me. I think I'm just remember. Spring of Joy. I did flyer for it. Hand-drawn flyer. I did up to 50. I was doing one by one. Worship with us. Something like that. At age 8. Yeah, but. And I would beg the children. Come now. Come to my church. I'll give you a sweet. They will sit down. Spring of Joy. Yeah. Or Joyful Spring. Something like that. I should take something on that. I'm a pastor. I don't know. I'm already the pastor. So being a prophet is much more than just seeing visions. Every believer should. Every believer can. Ananias saw vision. Acts 9. 10. Right? Eh? And it was called a certain disciple named Ananias. And he's just a disciple, he wasn't a prophet, but he's a vision. And was he listening to him? Should he? Is that you, Lord? Yeah, Lord. Do you know this man? No, he was conversing. The action is that most likely it's a normal occurrence to him. And so, don't excuse your own apathy. And then relinquish the work of seeing visions to prophets. In Acts 2:2, what we call the Day of Pentecost, even though there are many days of Pentecost before that one and after that one. But what Day of Pentecost? In Acts 2, everybody saw, right? As they appeared as them cloven tongues of fire. That means there was sight, there was mighty rushing wind, there was sound, right? And that everybody, 120 people, and they are not all called prophets. So prophets, again, will be who? From my explanation so far. So prophets so far, we've seen that it's that man who functions well in the things of the Spirit. Of course, much more, he has met up with the requirements. He's now an example to other believers. So we've seen that in the book of Acts, the ministry evolved, right? Right? I think we said that from Acts 1 to 5, we had just apostles and what? Disciples. Apostles and disciples. Then in Acts 6, we had verse 7, this you with all diligence. Are you? And then in Acts 7, Stephen preached. Acts 8, we now had them go to Samaria. Then in Acts 11, in Acts 11, 13 prophets. Acts 13 prophets and teachers. Acts 11 prophets. Acts 13 prophets and teachers. So ministries are evolving. Believers started receiving ministry. Look at Acts 16, verse 30. And brought them out and said, "Sir, what must we do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Verse 32. And they spoke the word of the Lord to all that in his house, and took them the same hour, the night, and washed his stripes, and was baptized, and went straight away, and brought them into his house, and set me before them. Again, this was Paul and Silas, after they were jailed. And what will you call them? The church sent them somewhere. So what will you call them? Apostles, thank you. And so they are jailed, and you see what the apostles are doing, now preaching. So the work of preaching, again, is for everybody. Same with prophets. The prophet's ministry is not to Buhari or Trump. It's not to declare the affairs of the nation. Are you listening to me very well? Because many people think prophets, their own ministry is vital. In December 31st, people start coming up with seven things that happened in 2019. There will be strike. Who does know where there will be strike? In Nigeria, there will be strike everywhere. Many people will die. Is there anywhere people don't die? Have you seen the year that anybody died in a country before? If the evidence is many people will die. Economy will rise and fall. Oh, of course. Tell me, I just know my unicorn. I recall the time before election. One prophet spoke. Then this one will enter. After that one spoke, he said the other one will enter. Oh yeah, we will see God today. After election, everybody just go among. Everybody will keep, they will keep him. And then you wonder, who is God using among all of you? Obviously, it's like that, Niger. Just look at the odds. Buhari over Atiku. From at 2.0. And then plead, something like that. I still don't understand that whole thing. I need to learn it from someone. Alright, again, the prophet's ministry is not to Trump. It's to the body of Christ. Don't forget 1 Corinthians 12, 28. He sets some in the what? He sets some in the what? He said some in the church, and so the ministry gives to be found primarily functioning in the church. The prophet, when you have told that the prophet's ministry is to draw crowd for the Lord. His ministry is to draw crowd. Draw crowd for the Lord. No, there is no ministry gives that is a showman. No, ministry ought to be examples. Example. You are an example to believers who flow with the things of the Spirit and can be trusted. That's what a prophet is. Alright. Clear on that? Alright, evangelist, think of. He is not the one who is leading crusade. Your mind is run through to a territory and thinky. Evangelist is not the one leading crusades. As traditionally many men must have believed. There are crusades in the book of Acts. Acts 2 was a crusade, right? Come on, 3,000 people got saved. That's some crusade. Acts 3. After Peter healed the man in the beautiful gate, many people gathered. Acts 4 to 5. Acts 8, Samaria, right? But you observe that in the book of Acts, what we call crusades, listen very well, what we call crusades in the book of Acts, they were actually believers taking advantage of the crowd. There was no single place in the book of Acts where people now put up a stage and say, go and call people. There's no single place where they now put up a platform and they now put lights. You know, they always have in that light on Paco. You know, as crusade is here with speakers outside. There's no single place in the book of Acts where the apostles gathered and people now want to start calling people for crusade. What happened was that believers, the apostles would go to where people are and take advantage of the crowd. Is it making sense? That's the crusade. Jesus says, go into the world. That means go to where people are. Don't go and call people. You are the one to go. Hallelujah. So the evangelist is not also the one for with the burden of souls. I'm just trying to demystify some things. You know, say the one with the burden that has the burden for souls. Who should have the burden for souls, please? Eh? Well, thank you. You don't treat the Great Commission like a great suggestion. The evangelist also has the Great Commission, just like every other person. Some of you think that the evangelist is the person that can shout, carry megaphone. What's the carry megaphone?
You enough! You think the Lord is not seeing you? But the eyes of the Lord runs through and through like a drone.
You know, there is a you just see that the window, ah, evangelist is here. The bad that you're a megaphone. That is not qualifying to be an evangelist. Also, it's not the singer.
Listen, Mafiana.
And that is the singer. You are the first to call them the evangelist, to be sincere. I don't think I can say.
Jesus Mafiana, in my life. Listen.
Listen.
Listen to my testimony. 2022. In 2002, I was down. I was in my career. No money or nothing. But I just put that song in my mouth. I said, Jesus, man, be honored in my life every day. No one be your brother. Must you say, no one be your my life, turn around.
So we are calling me evangelist, Zacchaeus. That's Zacchaeus. Or Pius, something else. Alright, evangelist Zacchaeus. So you think the person singing automatically is an evangelist. That's also wrong. Again, Peter got 3,000 people saved at once, and he was never called an evangelist. Don't forget Ephesians 4:11. He gave peace unto men, he gave unto some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and what? And teachers. Again, don't forget, give them in the church, right? So you will find evangelists outside the local church. That's what I'm saying. So all the ministry gifts are found in the church. In the church. The ministry gifts will benefit. So who is the evangelist? Is the word evangelisto? Just put O after evangelist. It means the bearer of a report. The one who bears a report. A report. The bearer of a report. Alright? He has a name, the substance of persuasion. He has a name, the substance of persuasion. That means he will not just bear the report. He will also have the work of convincing people and persuading people. And so the evangelist is that man who actually has been bequeathed with the work of conviction. Is that the pastor? Is the pastor also meant to convince, read the word? Because that's what the word is for, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and is profitable. And you have God and is profitable for doctrine, which is what the gospel is to teach, to explain, and for conviction, the word reproof, election. The conviction. So, if the preacher of God, the one who understands the word of God, is meant to convince people about the word, right? Then the evangelist is also the pastor, right? Alright. Look at 2 Timothy 4:5, where Paul mentions the work of an evangelist. Apart from this, the only place where we find the evangelist is Acts 21:8, right? Where Luke called, Philip. An evangelist, right? And that's because Luke is Paul's disciple. And obviously, for you to have converted a whole city, I mean, the whole city was full of joy, then you must have on you that persuading grace, like that, right? I mean, the whole Samaria was filled with joy. Of course, not everybody, but when you say the whole, that's for the majority, alright? So the whole Samaria was full of joy. Makes sense. That means you had on him the substance of action and conviction. 2 Timothy 4:5. Now we together once you go. And the affliction.
that the work of an evangelist make foolproof of what? Of your ministry. We've explained the word foolproof. Proof has to do with persuasion. Persuasion. Again, the work of an evangelist is to preach. You find that in verse 2. Preach the word. The instant in season and out of season. And so, the work of the evangelist will primarily to preach. And in the work of preaching, you will now have to insert the substance of persuasion. You have to insert convincing people. And so when you say make proof of your ministry, that has to do with persuasion. Alright. So the evangelist will now be the one who doesn't just drop the word. Who does drop the word? Just drop the word. No. The evangelist will now explain. He convinces, he persuades. So all ministry gifts have the Great Commission, and all of them should explain, persuade, and convince. Let me say it again. Preaching to the unsaved is whose role in ministry? Evangelist? Evangelist? Every believer, right? Alright, so again, don't relinquish that to ministry gifts. Apostles. Let's look at the apostle. We've said, who is the apostle again? The sent one. Alright, I like that. You guys are talking like the Hebrews. Who's the evangelist? Who's the apostle? A delegate from a local assembly, right? Alright. He's sent from a church. Let me say that he took the death of Stephen in Acts 7. He took the death of Stephen for ministry gifts to that image. You know, before the death of Stephen, they were all together. The only people we now had were apostles, right? And disciples. And deacons. Just for them to take care of the widows and self tables, right? Until Stephen now died, they now scattered. Because of persecution. When in Africa, that was when we now had this church sending someone to that church. It makes sense. That's where apostles emerged. Makes sense. Until the death of Stephen. And so the early church learned the rule of their experience. The things they experienced. Again, the apostles will be found where? In the bush? On the plain? Where? In the church. You know, apostles is found in the church. I can't say you're not a pastor, you're a bishop. The only just did was just to borrow a Gentile language. What the Jews will call an elder or a pastor, a shepherd, the Gentile will now call a governor. That's a bishop. And this is the person that has oversight over us. Bishop, pastor, elder. The same thing. The same thing. The grace of God upon me. I've said this before. By the grace of God upon me, I'm not a pastor. I'm more than a pastor. I'm a priest. The pastor that will send the apostle. You don't know. You don't know what's going on. I'm not. By the grace of God, I'm not a pastor. I've gone beyond being a pastor. I'm now an elder. Your elder sound like a elder. Another is just the pastor. Forget, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You are a pastor. Hallelujah. How about the teacher? Because the apostles, Jesus called his own disciples apostles. He first called them prophets. Then he called them apostles. So that is, because they are the first people that were sent. First people that were sent. And that's why you now find in 1 Corinthians 12, 20, firstly, apostles. Again, the order of emergence in ministry. You see, so you assess some in the church. Firstly, apostles, secondly, prophet. You don't see that as apostles now get an appointment. Why don't we have misinterpreted and say the apostles get an appointment? The teacher is the least. Why that kind of segregation? No? Doesn't make any sense. But when he says he has set some in church, firstly, apostles, we know that the first people we had were the apostles. And that's what Paul was saying in Ephesians 2:20. We are laid on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Again, the apostles and the prophets in that for Ephesians 2:20, the same people. He calls Peter and his the apostles, and they were also the prophets. Jesus called them prophets, and of course they were sent ones. This teacher is called Didaskalos, D-I-D-A-S-K-O-L-O-S, Didaskalos. From Didasko means to teach. To explain. And so, teacher also, there is a teacher in Ephesians 4:11. So, the
The teacher is that one who explains. He explains. It's actually an acquired skill. It's an acquired. So it's always teaching from being taught. He's teaching from being taught. Does that make sense? Eh? Does that reflect Moses' name? Eh? He will teach them the ordinances, right? And they will now go ahead and teach the 12 tribes. Observe in the New Testament, no one taught from visions. Nobody dared taught from visions or revelation. I believe many things are changing in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Not that we have a vision, and then I have your message the next day. Let's say yes to them. Church, listen. In that being serious service, I mean, ask choir. Don't sing any song. Speak for me. No word can wash. Keyboard, down. No strings. Because you have a vision yesterday. Yesterday. And changes. Yesterday. I don't know what was going on. Obviously. You don't teach from visions and revelations. You use them. I think we have a teaching like that. How to undo visions and revelations. Yeah? Alright. So, you don't teach from visions and revelations. Every teacher taught from the scriptures. In the New Testament, we teach from the scriptures. Jesus was called a teacher too. And he taught from the scriptures. So what we have in the church of God are teachers and disciples, true and true. That means the one who is being taught, we also teach some people, right? Just like you guys, right? Right? Are you not teaching people? Eh? So we are also teachers. Eh? So what we have in the church of God are teachers and disciples, true and true. A disciple is someone who is learning before you start thinking that we want to have our own 12 disciples too. So the office of a teacher will also entail instructions. Obviously, you know that from the secondary school. The office of a teacher will entail instructions. Instructions that will affect manner of life, conduct, the way you see things, your perspective. So in discipleship, the way you act will change based on teaching. You know, the early church were called Christians. Why? Eh? They had similar conduct, all of them. And so, the teaching has affected their lifestyle, such that they now have... The teaching has affected them, so they now have similar conduct. And so, a teacher's work is not to make people's ear to tingle. You just say what they want to hear. Just find something sweet to say. You know, sometimes, The teaching is rigorous. Sometimes it's not even what you want to hear. Sometimes I'm not even in the mood. I know most of the teaching is in some you guys sometimes I'm not even in the mood. So what is this guy saying again? What teaching again now, man? Can we just have Thanksgiving Sunday? Or praise night. You know? I say, come and see the Lord is good, yay. You know, something like that. Sometimes you just have that. But teaching is not to make ears tingle, it's not to make ears itchy. Teaching is to do what the scripture says. Everyone says this something that a teacher is not the one that is mighty in illustration. Many have said that, I don't know how that pastor did it. He just told us that. Imagine I'm here and you're there. The space between here and there is T. And that T is time. You know, you can be here, but you'll be there. Just takes time. And say, he's mighty in scriptures. If I was you, a teacher is not the one mighty in illustration. I just formed whatever I said now. And it sounds stupid to me. But some people will write it down and applaud you and say, Go word. No, that's not word. That's illustration. Even Pharaoh had illustrations. Hallelujah. He's not the one writing stories. No, the Bible has written stories and fables. You can't preach without mentioning one story. Oh, yes, it's John, you know, John. Look at John. Because you know, it's very good accident that happened at the Ugeleda. Some people are not praying without hearing one story. Right? I was reading the newspaper. A 20-year-old
graduate. You just finished last week. Car. Eating. Dead destiny. We now pray. Say, no dead destiny. Do you not praise God? When you hear that, no, look at this! Because you're still, after that, you're not praying. Church! I read this paper. Is that your job? To be in the paper every day. I read this paper yesterday. A baby. And he was only uncrowing. And he crawled and he went to date night and he took himself. Another dead destiny. Again, the teacher is not the one that is mighty in story or illustration or fables. He's the one that is mighty in scriptures. Teachers are found in the church also. Hallelujah. How am I mighty in the scriptures? I would explain them, not just quote them. I will take time. Good teaching takes time. Sometimes, some teachings you don't understand them right in the service. And I can tell you for sure. You know, you would have to probably listen to them again. Are there times when you are listening to a teacher and you are asking yourself, I was absent. I don't know. I haven't even got. You are listening to a teacher and say, when did pastor teach this song? Where did I go? And probably you are listening to him. Or you need to pray. Lack of teaching. So now you need to know that it takes time. Understanding takes time. Some of the things I'm teaching, actually a few of things I've heard over and over again, I've been taught over and over again. Does it make sense? What about the pastor? The prayer, shepherd, P-O-I-M-E-N. Amen. It was shepherd. Again, by saying shepherd, it means you have a sheep, or you have sheeps. You have a flock. It's an active word. You find it used 15 times for Jesus in the four Gospels. 15 times, the word amen. Amen. Jesus was called the shepherd. He also called himself the good shepherd. Other references you find is Acts 20:28, Ephesians 4:11, Hebrews 13:20, and 1 Peter 2:25. 1 Peter 2:25, where it says Jesus is the bishop and the shepherd of our souls. It makes sense? Right? Again, pastor must have authority over you. Well, it's all you called pastor. It means the person has authority over you. I've always said it, that the person who cannot correct you is not your pastor. The one who cannot come, like, look you into the face, and say, what you did is wrong. Why were you late? Why did you do that? What should you have done? Send this and send that. Again, if that person cannot do that to you, is not your pastor. The pastor is not when I'll be telling you, yes sir. What did you say, sir? What do you want, sir? At your wish, at your command. Pastor. That was just the person you lamented to be teaching the God's word. You know? A pastor must have oversight. That Bible says control over you. Control. Again, it also means that if a man control at all control, you are not a sheep, you are a goat. That's what Jesus used to oppose sheep. So, again, a pastor must have authority over you. Pastor is an active sense. It's not for retired soldiers. Someone who was pastor in NCCF or NIFES. Let me use NIFES. NIFES is almost the common one that is in all schools. He was pastor in NIFES back in your school days. But now, he's just an auditor. You know, he just audits for firms. But you still retained the pastor. So we saw him on the road. He said, pastor, so. He's not a pastor. Where are the sheep? Who is the flock? No. Pastor is not. Once a soldier, forever a soldier. You are retired. You're retired. You know, there are some people like ex-ministry gifts. You're an ex-ministry gift. You're an ex-soldier. Hallelujah. So pastoring is active. Don't say because someone is a pastor. He used to be a pastor. But now he's no longer as an article in pastor. You think that's honor? You are discerning the scriptures. Pastoring is active. That's why I said, you look at it more in the verb, right? Than what? Eh? Than now. Also, it's also very carnal to think that there's one ministry gift that's superior to another ministry gift. I've seen people fight over that. In recent 2019, pastors have fighting. I mean, I'm a bishop. I'm not your mate. I was all of that. I'm serious. Again, fighting over superiority in ministry gift is not sensible because it's just one gift, as it were. So in the body of Christ, people are classified by their label. By their label, not by title. People are respected by their label. Some people don't have a pastor card to their name, and yet their label speaks loud for them. I know we agree with it. They don't have a pastor card to their name. But the places they reach, the souls they want, the people they thought, we speak for them. And so, in the body of Christ, we respect people based on their faith. Those who get double honor are those who labor in word and doctrine. 1 Timothy 5:17. Those who labor in word and doctrine, that the ones who get double honor. Again, an elder also said will be a summary of all these gifts. Elders will feed the flock. 1 Timothy 5:17. And also elders will have oversight. 1 Peter 5:1-4. How about deacon? He said the deacon's role is not teaching, to be to help. To serve with natural things. To serve with natural things. Again, you have authority over things, not people. You have authority over cleaning the drum. You have authority over drumming. You have authority over cleaning the toilet. You have authority over cleaning chairs. You have authority over things generally. Money. Sometimes. That's the work of the deacon, not over people. Again, if he's not faithful in those things, then he can't be faithful with lives. If you can't be faithful with cleaning chairs in the church, if you are not faithful with sound, if you are not faithful with protocol, if you are not faithful with works, everything they told you to do, you are not faithful with those small things, then nobody should trust you to be faithful with lives. You will never be. It's not you will grow to be faithful with lives. No, you won't be. So the deacon ministry is a proving ministry. It's where you prove and test people. It's where you test people. Paul's suggestion is that before a man becomes a pastor, you must prove him with the work of a deacon. Put him in charge of something. Is that what we call HOD? Eh? Eh? HOD, at the end of department, head of units. Your music team is deacon, right? You are putting him in charge of things. Okay? Take care of the band. Take care of the vocals. Take care of the speaker. Take care of the sound. Take care of the recording. Take care of the church facility. You know? The deacons. Deacons. The deacons are not to attend committee meeting. That sounds funny. Not to attend committee. It's actually to serve things. Look at 1 Timothy 3:10. Paul says, and let this also first be proved. Let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Verse 8 is started talking about deacons. You find if you are using a Bible that has title tags, most likely you find qualifications for deacons from verse 8, right? Eh? I think so. You should. I don't find it. The qualification for deacons, you say, deacons must be grave. They must not be double-tongued. They must be grave. Grave means to be serious-minded. It's not someone that jokes around every time. It must be serious-minded. It must not be double-tongued. That is, it must be loyal. It must be loyal. It must not be given to much wine. Not greedy, not greedy of money. Forget the English of fitting liquor. It is money, money. It's not money minded. Say, let him be proved. That's 10. What proof means dokimazo? Dokimazo. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. When you are testing something to see. How many are going to buy shoe before and you test it? Huh? Right? I think you just buy shoe and test it. You test it to see how it fits, you test it to see how it looks. So that's the office of a deacon. But pause it before a man becomes a bishop, let him first use the office of a deacon. Let him first use the office of a deacon. He tests his service. If he tests his service,
with things to see if he's faithful enough to handle men. Faithful people don't see issues with seven. The moment you start seeing issues, they just ordering me around. It shows you can't serve people, you can't pastor. Because in pastor, the people will gather you around, indirectly, with honor. Is that not what you guys are doing to me? Pastor, who is the apostle? How do I differentiate an apostle? You have ordered me, I'm obeying your order. Whether you like the people who order you around, as a pastor, whether or not, you're just calling. So, your hospital. So, pastor doesn't have life. That doesn't have life. You just put on your slippers. So, you are going to the hospital. No? As a pastor, I visited the hospital. I visited the police station. I visited the prison. I visited places that I have no issues with. Like, I'm not the one. I don't get. You know? And that's just the work of the pastor. So, if you are not faithful with little things, such as people putting in charge of mic, you will be faithful. Whether you call that, one of the members, remember sister. That is not me attending your church. That has spoken against your church. You see the day. Yes, well. You are not giving me mic. Yes, I'm not in Lagos. We are in Jesuit. You know? Because you are not just faithful. You are not just faithful. And so faithful people don't see an issue. So, and 820, what we have as head of unit, head of department, head of unit and church, is what we have as deacon. And look at the requirements in verse 8. He said he must be serious. He must be faithful. He must not be double-tongued. He's not the one that will say something and then will meet something else. He must not be given too much wine. That's self-control. He must be able to control his appetite. He must be able to control what he wants. Again, how do I know faithful people in natural things? How do I know faithful natural things? The way they handle things. The way they will handle money. Money, for example. We are testing you with money. Natural things. If you are the one in charge of money, offering, finances. Finances are indeed only good. Oh, you are. Oh, you are. Oh, you are. 50. Only 1K, 2K, 3K. It's so much more. I have this job, you don't know. After 50K. Well, that is bad in buying car. Buy car. 1M, 2M, 3M. Oh, God, oh, you are. You know? You are not faithful in natural things. If you utilize, you can take back. You can sacrifice your entire church for each other. If you, that's Judas now. But not faithful with natural things. Also, the way they handle relationships. The way they handle information. Someone who cannot keep his mouth shut. Someone who doesn't know what to say and what not to say. Cannot pastor. In fact, how are we going to do that? We are going to test him with the office of what? Office of what? A deacon. So, in the office of the deacon, you'll be required to handle information. And you are submitting a report late. It's a very clear indication that you are not pastor. Not in the next 3 years. The fact that you submitted late this year, as you tell you the next 3 years, we need to check you again. You know? It's just an indication. Because you are not faithful with these small things. You have to be faithful. It's required of a steward that you might be what? Be found faithful. The way you handle your emotions. Anyone who cannot handle his emotional life, he cannot pastor. Because the pastor is the most stepped upon soul in the world. The pastor is the one that will just finish praying for you. And will call you and you are eating over the phone. Imagine you just finish praying for you. How will you feel? Just finish praying for someone, probably about 10 hours. Just one person. And then you come around and you just go like, you even come for the meeting, for the decision meeting. The next day. And you called him, probably the next time you saw and he was giving attitude. That's the office of a pastor. And yet, he must not show it. I must not even tell you that he just finished praying for you. That's just it. And so you must be tested with emotions. Emotions. Sometimes you want, what is the coin now? You know you have to say that. Guy, sometimes you feel like locking up people. Say what now? Because you have learned it as a deacon to handle emotions. Emotions, people's emotions, your emotion. You have learned to place the scriptures over the way you feel. Sometimes the way you feel, and then turn, your pastor just comes to you and corrects you and says, stop that. And you're like, hey, how will I stop this? I don't know what happened to you before. You have put your heart and soul in it. And the pastor says, F, stop it. Now the way you will handle that is proving you as a deacon. And so, if you are going to pastor at all, it will be from all sorts of reports. The way you have handled your emotions, the way you have handled discretions, the things you have to say. Discretion goes out. Discretion information will mean to be careful about it. The way reveal it to. I remember Pastor A.B. Adeki will say, discretion is downwards in ministry. That is, if you are going to keep quiet about anything in the church, you keep quiet to those who are below you. Those who are above you must know everything. I learned that very early as a pastor. Not here. When I was serving as a pastor. Discretion is downward. Whatever you know, anybody, the next person above you must know everything. It must not be heard. Because, see, what if you do is that you turn something on your head. Because it's not downward, confidentiality is also important. Even in medicine, you will learn that. You will learn that a lot. You tell your patient. The first thing you do when the patient enters your treatment room is what? You first screen. You screen the room. That is, you put a curtain. It must not be open. To show that everything you are doing is confidential. If I'm going to expose your body, if I'm going to do anything, it is confidential. And I will tell you, whatever is between myself and you, remains between us and the case notes. It's confidential. How much more? Because it's the work of lives. I mean, medicine. And so, how much more the work of ministry? The way you handle information. As a pastor, someone told you something about himself or about his family. They now come to the pulpit. Sister, stand up. I want to use an example. Yesterday, Sister Ruth came to me. And she told me that she's having some issues with her. Pastor, are you good? I know you pilot. You know, confidentiality. Give me this as an example. Give me this as an example. Don't say, yesterday someone came to me. No. Give me this as an example. It depends. We test that in the office of the deacon. So if you are someone who talks too much, you can't be a pastor. You hear things that would amuse you. I mean, things that will amuse you. Hallelujah. In silence. We sit about all of that. Our single ministry. If there's anything like that, it's actually a teaching ministry. There's nothing like single ministry. But if there's anything like that, it should be a teaching ministry. Colossians 3:16. Paul to the church in Colossae said, let the word of God, let the utterance of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with joy, in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Alright? Say, you teach and admonishing one another, and admonish one another, in what? Colossians 3:16-17, in psalms, in hymns, and songs by the Spirit. Alright? So, if you have a single ministry, that's to do with ministry of teaching. Very good, you say, teaching, I said this before, teaching those who are new to it, right? And admonishing those who are already practicing to continue. That's some wisdom, but it's good. So, teaching and admonishing one another. So, one another in Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. How about Hebrews 13:5? Talks about thanksgiving. Before that, Ephesians 5. Verse 18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto your heart with the Lord." And so, if there is a single ministry at all, it will be to teach. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, as your behavior, your manner of conduct, let it be without covetousness, and be content with things you are. For you have said what? I will never leave you, nor what? Nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Exactly. So, in the single ministry, there's a burning thing. And then now talks about thanksgiving. In verse 15, it says, by him, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Again, giving thanks unto his name will be a function of teaching. So, if there's a single ministry at all, it is not help, so it's just a spiritual activity. All believers have the ministry. So if you say you have single ministry, just keep doing what all believers are doing. Teaching. Your ministry will not be your voice.
Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, glory, glory.
Oh, yes, the single ministry that raised you. He just has voice. Your ministry is in the world. It's in the world. Remember? It's a message ministry. Caruso. The ministry is in words. So don't go for quantity over quality. Your lyrics cannot be filled with the word of God if you are not filled with the word. So single ministry will be a teaching ministry. That's it. So at what point should a person be allowed to teach in a local assembly? When he has been proven faithful. Not just proven. He has been proven that he is faithful. It's an offshoot of discipleship and is loyalty. So, the teaching ministry to the saints, I mean, not teaching yourself, not teaching those who are just coming up. I mean, you are teaching your fellow equals. Well, it should be that when you have been proven faithful, an offshoot of your discipleship and your loyalty not just to God. I let people say, I'm loyal to God, I'm not loyal to any man. That has disloyal as it can sound. When I say you're loyal to God, I'm loyal to you, man. God puts men in your lives. I say Jesus. Again, your loyalty to God is shown in your loyalty to God's name. Alright? So you have to be loyal to the people God has placed over you too. People develop into the work of ministry. It's not tied to. People grow into it. It's not just one horrible dream you had when you are in front of a stadium. And I give you Mike in the stadium. That's it. And you just got the mic. People are not falling under the power. People fail. Mic, people fail. That's what I said. Stadium, big stadium. People are coming on wheelchair and they are leaving, walking. And you woke up. Bish. And next thing, people call the airway, helping the right flyer. This is one of the ministry. The glory cloud, Inc. Incorporated. Hallelujah. You don't know, try to because you had a dream. No. What you commission it must, you must go into it, right? Must go into it, the maturity. So the yoga church then becomes a training ground. It's not a social club where you just choose people. Oh yeah, you come a pastor. Oh, there's your pastor, there's your pastor, oh yeah. Where's it on Sunday? It's funny how people now use new converts to start a work. I mean, the person just got saved last week, last month, last year. He's already a pastor. It's funny. It's funny a church that started last 3 months already has 8 pastors. Are you a vocalizer? You have 7 pastors. Where did they come from? No. You have not proven them. What you will get is quantity over quality. You prove people. Paul told the church in Ephesus, 9:16. He taught them 3.5 years. You know what that means? He said, I have taught you daily. 3.5 years. He now made them pastors. 3.5. So there will be any misconsideration at all. There will be any misconsideration in 3.5 years. But I think mine is more than that. We need to prove more. Hallelujah. Because we are going to be there for them all. It's a long journey. And so, that's what they make our gone through fire. And they said, we stick with the word. We cannot put you in that light. That's all.
That's how you put that thing. Start a cell in Ishaga. And before you know, you just Ishaga cell is now called the World Miracle International Ministry. See, they report. So who? They are World Church. The Ministry of the Spirit. I said, what is it? It's like that. I said, the world, the church, and the mission. In your mind, you don't need us. Yeah, go. Again, you are going to put this before you can now put him over people's lives. Is that correct? So get trained. Ministry gifts are not superstars. They are servants who should reproduce other ministry gifts. They are not superstars. They are not showmen. The job of the ministry will begin to now be to reproduce its own kind.